Kindle.
Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Game vs. Anime, the weekly podcast where we review games and anime and whatever the hell else we want to review. I am Inzar, and my co-host, well, he'll introduce himself again.
Mr. Mecca.
From here on out, we'll probably be taking the show in a different direction. You won't have that long-ass weekly review we did in the last show.
Yeah, not a long one like that again. At least not unless it's something special.
Yeah, that took up the better part of the show.
Yeah, that was my fault.
it was entertaining, though, so nonetheless. At any rate, we asked you guys to send in some emails last time, and apparently we only have one fan out there.
Well, it's better than none.
Well, we did get an email, and Mr. Mecca is going to go and read it over there.
This email is from One Winged Angel. Ah, my friend, let me just say, it was a great first episode. The only thing I can really say could be better is the length. I think that if you make it shorter, then more people might listen. I don't know. But anyway, the pros of said first episode: great informative reviews, chipper attitudes, great personalities. The cons? The only one I could think of, honestly, is the length. Anyway, it was a good episode, and I'm looking forward to more. Rock hard, rock long, Vashems.
Anyway, yeah, the show is a bit long, was a bit long, and it might, each show might be that long, but preferably, I like it that way because most of the shows I watch are long like that, and they still have lots of listeners. We will try to shorten it a bit more this time, though. And then it won't be as long because I think our weekly review last week took up like 40 to 50 minutes, didn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But that's because we were going over an entire series. Actually, several series.
Four, to be exact.
This should be a lot shorter compared to that.
Yeah.
Since we're only reviewing like individual episodes or at least parts of them.
Anyway. Also, I forgot to mention on our last show to visit our website. Our website is, I don't know because I forgot to write it down. Give me 5 seconds.
Oh, I have that. 1 sec.
Okay.
It is minzarashow.blogspot.com.
Visit our website for show notes. Basically, we'll give you links to where to get these animes at or get information on the animes. And we'll also place times when each review takes place, so you don't have to listen to the whole show if you don't want to listen to all of it. You just want to listen to a certain review.
You have misspelled a few words, man.
And what, the...
You misspelled Chronicle and Chrono.
I knew I should have listened more in English class.
Got spell check.
Well, you can't do spell check and without doing Word. I didn't type in Word.
There are free editions.
True.
Not that hard to find.
Well, no. I mean, I could. I didn't type in Word, though. I typed it on the webpage, so there ain't no spell check on the webpage.
Huh. Alrighty. If there's not, oh well.
And I'm too lazy to put in Word.
I'll fix it later.
At any rate, we'll go ahead and start our weekly reviews. I'll start us off today again, because I don't know why. Today, I'm going to be reviewing episode 83 for Bleach and episode 31 for Tabasa Chronicle.
And I'll be reviewing episode 265 of One Piece and episode 188 of Naruto.
Yeah, we can see why your review took so much longer than mine now, because your episodes are way higher up than mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, episode 83 of Bleach was a filler yet again. Oh my god, fillers are just so annoying, but I won't get into that. The fight scenes at the start were okay. The animation just sucks. I mean, the animation is really, really bad right now for Bleach. It's like they got ultra lazy and they're trying to cut back on money. Then the better part of the episode, probably a good 80% of the episode, was a flashback with one of the Bounto, or whatever the hell you want to call the damn vampire things they're using right now. And in this flashback, he meets this kid Kane, who I thought was, I didn't like the character Kane at all. I'm glad he died. He dies at the end of this. I enjoyed the flashback for the most part. I mean, it was okay. I mean, compared to the rest of the series as not filler episodes, the flashback sucked. And then, for some reason, the anime writers can't even keep their own damn characters in fucking character. The leader of the Bounto, whatever the hell you want to call it, was fucking crying at the end of it. This guy is supposed to be a hard ass, and he's freaking crying. I was like, wow.
It happens to the best of them.
Overall, the filler episode was okay, but, God, I just can't wait till these filler episodes end. Now on to Tabasa Chronicle. That, thankfully, is not in the fucking filler arc. In this one, Shaoran, the main character, meets his father as a kid. Because basically, as I explained last episode, it goes through time travel and different dimensions. It basically runs into his father that when he's a kid. So it's a pretty interesting episode because he's all admiring this little kid because it's his father, but in actuality, it's just a kid, so it's pretty amusing. Overall, the episode had an interesting story. Yet again, not a lot of fighting. Tabasa Chronicle lacks in fighting really bad, and that's the only bad thing about it, especially if you're really into the Shonen Jump fighting stuff.
What episode is it on again?
Episode 31.
Maybe it'll pick up.
Maybe, yeah. And yet again, the Tabasa Chronicle music is fucking amazing. It is nice music. This music is really good. I mean, probably the music of the show makes the show good. Because if it didn't have as good as music, it probably wouldn't be as good. It's kind of like Hack. Hack sucked, but the music was good, so it made the show good.
In Naruto this week, well, they are on a mission to protect a escort. They're protecting peddlers, essentially, on a trip from Nano Country. This was explained in the last episode of Naruto. Well, in this episode, not really a lot happens, except they begin into a fight against an opposing ninja who's one of the ones who's taken over Nano Country. It stops just as a fight is about to really begin.
I'm currently like six episodes behind on Naruto because I can't bring myself to watch the filler episodes for Naruto.
Well, I don't think this one's so bad, but I have noticed a few, like, except for Choji, Hinata's a bit out of character. She isn't acting super shy when she's like right next to Naruto. Like, she's not, like, nearly fainting.
Yeah, that is how the character for her. Majorly.
Choji has kind of taken on kind of a... Well, he's... Oh, I think he's still in character for the most part. He's, well, taking kind of a semi-leader role in that group.
Choji... No, he's not in character.
Compared to the others, he is. Compared to Hinata, definitely. He's closer
but
to
But compare Choji and Naruto or something. I think Naruto is pretty smarter, or a lot smarter than Choji.
Well, he's more likely to rush into things. Choji has to be learning something from Shikamaru, seeing as they're close friends.
I guess.
But let's get on. But that's basically what's happened. Not a whole lot in that episode, except for the beginning of the fight.
Mind you, it's filler episode. Remind everyone of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in One Piece...
I actually watched this episode.
I'll do a basic because I think this one... Because not a whole lot happened in the episode. Okay, I'll be doing a basic overview of 264 and 265 in this case, since not a lot happened in 265. Well... In these two episodes, they finally got to Enies Lobby.
And now, Enies Lobby, I think, or...
No, it's Enies.
Oh, okay. I just can't pronounce shit, I guess.
They haven't arrived there at first, but because of a few mishaps. At some point, Luffy basically launches, like usual, to the island.
Yeah, that part was so funny. Everyone was like...
Yeah, those poor guards.
Everyone was like, okay, we gotta slowly walk in there, and the guy do this big old sneak attack, and all of a sudden Luffy comes flying over the thing.
And then they notice, where's Luffy? Oh, in these last two episodes, a new intro has been introduced as well.
Yeah, pretty cool intro, too.
Oh, yeah. It also shows something that... I believe has been happening in the manga as well.
Yeah, because currently the manga is not that far ahead in One Piece.
It gives you a little preview of some things that will happen. Like a new power, for example, for Luffy. I haven't read the manga, but I've read about this ability. I'm not going to go into it until it happens in the episode it does, though.
I haven't heard about it.
I think you're gonna like it. The ending as well is a new one. It has what I believe is fan art. It seems to differ between each episode as well.
I don't usually watch the ending, so I couldn't tell you.
You're a loss. Well, basically, as Luffy is basically storming through the island, which, by the way, is... kind of floating above a huge waterfall chasm.
Yeah, that looks so awesome.
Yeah. He is storming through. He uses a new technique. I can't remember its name right off the bat, but basically he wraps his rubber arms around his rubber limbs, basically. Takes control of the guy.
And uses him as a human punching bag, basically.
A human robot.
Yeah.
Oh, ally robot technique, or something like that.
Yeah, it's funny as hell, man.
Yeah, he uses him to punch his friends, and the guy ends up getting cut down by his friends when they're trying to cut down Luffy.
You gotta love Luffy and his crazy tactics, like the pinwheel and the Orlong arc that he end up screwing himself over by using.
Yeah. Well, it worked, but at least at first.
Yeah.
Well, after that, he... Well, after he beat the crap out of some more guards, he essentially launched over the gates and is currently on his way to continue his search for Robin. While this is happening, the others finally get to Enies Lobby, and they begin an assault against the currently weakened guard, since Luffy basically stormed through them all. Frankie's crew, I guess you could say, Frankie family, thank you. Well, they end up encountering these two giants. I can't remember their names right now, but whatever. They're basically getting the crap beat out of them. For now, anyways.
That's about where the episode ends, isn't it?
When the episode ends, it basically zooms out to show that Luffy is surrounded by... thousands of guards.
Yeah, I can't wait till the next episode where he kicks the shit out of all those people.
Yeah, I'm thinking the next episode might be when he accesses this new power.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to look into manga to find out either. I'll wait. Except for the second episode in these two. It's pretty good. Not a whole lot happens in the second.
Okay, I guess we now got our week reviews out of the way. Now we'll go on to my review of Shining Force. An old-ass video game.
Oh, yeah. We're going, good game, too.
We're going old school up in this bitch. Okay, Shining Force is an old, old game. This game came out, I think, in like 92 or 93, maybe.
Something like that.
I don't know the exact date, but it came out a long time. It came out for the Sega, Sega Genesis.
Yep.
One of the very few good games for Sega, because NES or SNES was the superior system, in my opinion.
not really. Maybe in terms of quantity and quality of games sometimes, but in terms of power, no.
Yeah, but then again, we're going to get into a Xbox and a PS2. In terms of power, Xbox is better, but what's the better system?
It depends on the games.
Oh, PS2 is better. Anyway, the story of Shining Force is about this kid named Max. I think that's his name. He basically, you take this kid and he gets the Shining Force. These people join him, and he has to stop this attack from, like, all these people that are attacking their castle. I mean, it's a basic storyline. I mean, the story is not the key element of this game. I tell you that right now. The story is okay, but this story is nowhere near, I mean, nowhere near FF quality or, like, Xenogears quality or any of those type. Chrono Trigger, nowhere near any of which he'll get into later, but it's nothing like those. The appeal to this game is its gameplay. Shining Force isn't the first tactic type RPG that's like this. That I think that would be Fire Emblem. Wouldn't that be? Or something like that.
Or something. It's a strategy game.
If you've ever played Final Fantasy Tactics, this game is a lot like that. Yeah, and so if you like FFT, you'll like this game. That's pretty much guaranteed.
And vice versa. Well, it was later on remade for the Game Boy Advance as well.
Yeah, it was later remade for the Game Boy Advance with more story intel and more shit like that. It kind of made it more better story-wise, but... And I think they enhanced the graphics a bit, too.
Oh, yeah. That is an understatement.
Yeah. So... I think you should probably play that version for the GBA, but I think the original was probably the best because the original captured what it was back then.
I have the exact titles for them, too. Shining Force, The Legacy of Great Intention was the original name, but its remade name was Shining Force, Resurrection of the Dark Dragon.
Yes, I played that one and beat it. It was similar, they just added more story and better graphics, that's basically...
The Dark Dragon one, that more explains the story better than the Great Intention.
Yeah. The character classes and choices you get are just fun as hell to mess around with. I mean, they're just... You get, like, flying birds and horsemen and dwarves and mages and priests. It's just really fun to mess around with.
Were there birdmen in the first one?
Yeah, there was. You got two birdmen. I think you got more than two birdmen. It was like Armand and someone else.
Oh, it's kind of hard sometimes because, you know, the first and the second game were very similar.
In a lot of cases, but in the second one you got third promotion. You didn't get, you only got second promotion in part one. In part three, you can, part two, you can promote to level three with items. So it added a different thing into it. And also... it had that walk-around world. It didn't have by chapters in the first game. My only issue with this game, the only reason why I don't like it, I mean, I love this game, but the only reason why I wouldn't like it is the story. The story isn't that good. It has a semi-bad story. Like I said, this is nothing near Final Fantasy quality. If you're expecting to get a good story out of this game, you're not going to get it. You're going into this game for the gameplay. That is the main appeal to this game. There is a ton, I mean a lot, of replay value to this game. You can play this game forever. I am still playing this game, going back through it. And I started playing this game in 94, and it's the year 2006. That's how much replay value is in this game.
Yeah, there... Well, actually, now that I think about it, there was a Sega CD version of the Shining Force games. Yeah. It had several of them all into one.
Yeah, I have the Sega CD version, but those are basically imports from the Game Gear games. Not exactly imports, the graphics are import.
Well, one of them is the only way you can play the English version of the Game Gear one.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I think most of them are, because they never released those, I don't think, in America.
Yeah, which kind of sucks.
We get that a lot. I mean, they had a Sega, they had Shining Force for the PlayStation 1. They had three of them, and you never got a chance to play those either. They were never released. Well, one was released, but the other two weren't.
Yeah, in the Shining series, there have been a few that aren't so great. Oh, Shining Spirit, I think it was called. It was essentially just... it had less story than the Game Boy one... Not the Game Boy, but the Genesis ones had. And it wasn't strategy-based. It was more akin to Secret of Mana-type battles.
Yeah, the Shining Force is the one you want to look for. The Shining Force 1, Shining Force 2. Not the Shining Force for PS2, though. Ignore that game at all costs. It is nothing like the Shining Force games. I don't know what the hell they were thinking when they made that game.
What kind of game is it?
It's basically like an adventure game. Kind of like Zelda or Devil May Cry, an adventure game.
Oh, I guess that more describes... I guess maybe it's more related to the Shining Spirit type game.
Yeah, it is, but... It's not what you liked about the Shining Force games that makes it suck. Yeah. Why the hell did they place that name on it? It was stupid. So it really upset me about it, because I was expecting to play a new Shining Force game. Like, alright, they finally made one. And I'm like, this ain't freaking Shining Force. This is Shit Force.
I was partially wondering, it's Shining Soul, actually, for those other ones. Okay, Chrono Trigger is a game that was created in 95. Well, it was released in 95 over here by Squaresoft. The artists for the characters and such of the game was Akira Toriyama, famous for Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball GT, no. Dragon Ball GT is anime only.
Though, if he had done the animation for it...
If he'd done anything for it, it'd been better, because GT sucked.
Yeah. Well, there was some part... let's get to that later.
Yeah.
It's a sidetracking again. Well, basically, in Chrono Trigger, you start out as the character Chrono, who wakes up the day of the Millennial Fair, basically celebrating 400 years of peace, and it's the year 1000. It's also celebrating that... the Kingdom of Guardia has existed that long. After he basically goes to the fair, he bumps into a young girl known as Marley.
I thought that was Marlene.
No, that's a different game, I think. It's Marley. But after he bumps into her, well, they end up wandering about the fair for a little bit until it's time for Luca's sideshow at the back of the fair. Once they head back there, that through a mishap with the teleporter, essentially it's a teleporter, when it reacts to Marley's pendant, it opens a hole in time, and she's sucked into it. Well, after that happens, Luca is a bit puzzled by it, and Chrono volunteers to travel through that portal to save her, or at least go after her.
The mute Chrono, I might want to add.
Well,
he never speaks once in that game. Not at all. He is mute.
There's an ending. A secret ending where he does speak.
He's still mute.
Well, let's see. After he travels through this portal, he finds himself in a valley, essentially. A valley canyon, same thing, basically. After he finds his way to Guardia Castle, well, it turns out that he's in the year 600. 400 years in his past. When he gets to the castle, the queen requests basically an audience with him in private. It's then discovered that Marley was mistaken for the queen. But soon after, she literally vanishes.
Yep.
Essentially, in Chrono Trigger, you end up traveling about time. From prehistorics to the end of time. And several eras in between. But let's get on to the characters to some degree, and then the system as well. After some point, you gain access to magic. The ability to use it, anyways. As opposed to their natural abilities, like swords, guns, crossbows. Kind of mixed there. Well, Chrono, for example, his element is lightning. His magic ranges from a lightning bolt to an all-encompassing bomb of light. If I were to compare it to another attack, it would be like Ultima in some of the Final Fantasy games.
I think it was called Ultima.
It might have been Ultima, but it was Luminaire English edition.
As far as I know, I could be wrong on this, but
Ultima is the big green exploding thing. Looks kind of nuclear.
But the creator of FF, I forgot his name because I am bad with Japanese names, but I do know somewhat of how his name is. I'm aware, I think he worked on Chrono Trigger. That's why they have a lot of the fire and lightning spells in it.
Oh yeah, this also follows some of the things with that. Like the naming conventions in the Japanese one. I'll get to that later, I think. Oh, I'll just go over a quick little thing example. Like in the Thunder category, you got Lightning, Lightning 2. But in the Japanese, that's Sanda and Sandaga or something like that. Basically, Thunder, Thundara, or Thundaga, something like that. Well, besides Chrono, the other characters, Marley, she gains access to water, but it's more ice and healing abilities. Luca gains access to fire. Another character, Frog, gains access to water. His is actually water, though. there's also Ayla, a cave girl.
Half-naked cave girl.
Yeah, kind of a fur bikini thing going on there.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also a optional character who is probably one of the most powerful ones in terms of ability.
I wouldn't relay who he is because it's kind of a spoiler.
Yeah. You'll find out.
Yeah.
He also has a pretty interesting history.
Yes.
Let's see. This game features something called the Active Time Battle System.
That is featured in all the Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, but basically one of the options in this is you can either have it so that you can, like when you are selecting your attacks and such, time does not pass. But with the active online, the active when it's on, that has time passing while you're selecting your abilities. So you can actually put a bit more strategy into it, making the game harder or easier depending on your timing with your abilities, since some of them can hit range or like in a line or an area effect.
The combination techniques is big draw.
In the battle system, sometimes the characters can combine their techniques. Because you can only have three people in a party at any time. There's single tech, double tech, and triple tech.
Triple attack are real hard to get, though.
Yeah, but they are some of the awesome techniques.
Yeah.
The double attacks, I'll give an example with Chrono and Marley and Luca. With Chrono, working with Marley, he can create an ice elemental stab attack, essentially. He basically leaps into the air, gets charged with ice magic, and stabs his freezing blade into the enemy. The same kind of situation with Luca, with a superheated blade.
My favorite one is I think it's Frog sticks a sword in the mofo, and then Spire lights it with fucking lightning.
Yeah, that one's called Spire.
Fucks people up with that damn thing. I love that
one. Oh, yeah. Very painful move. But Marley and Luca can also work together with their elements. You wouldn't think they could work together, you know, fire and ice. But they can combine theirs into something called Antipode. It is very powerful. It's not as useful until it gets to a higher level, though.
But I never really used Marlene, whatever, fucking Marla. I never used her.
She's one of the best healers in the game.
I was always a frog. Frog Chrono, I think, is a robot on my team.
But here's the main triple tech for those three characters. It's called Delta Force. Basically, It's a combination of lightning, fire, and ice. It affects every enemy on the screen, doing massive damage. But if you Frog Marley and Chrono can also do a similar one. That one's called Delta Storm. I'm not sure which is more powerful, or they could be similar enough. Several characters have triple techs with each other. Some of them you don't have access to until later, for certain conditions, which I will not spoil.
Why do the one where you have to fucking keep on getting hit with a rock in the damn head?
Oh, I was talking about some of the triple techs.
Yeah. To get one of the triple attacks.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
You have to get hit in the head with a rock for, like, hours.
Yeah. That one, some of them require special items. Some of them require certain members. I'm not sure. Some of you will like the ending boss. Some of you won't. I, for one, used to absolutely hate him. Until I figured out how to defeat him.
Oh, he's fun.
Yeah. You say that when you're under leveled fighting against him and he drops a giant rock on you. That wipes out you and your strongest characters when you don't have any more ethers.
That's the whole point in that game. You're never under level. Because you can do New Game Plus and you're a god basically walking for the game.
Yeah, but you gotta beat the game first.
Yeah.
And be careful you do not save when you are about to face him. If you are under leveled. Because there are some ways where you cannot go back.
He isn't friendly, let's just say that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like the game in general. I like how it handles the flow of time. But what you do will sometimes have an effect. Well, basically, there are some things you can do to change the world. There are a whole lot of things that are optional, but can end up helping.
There's like 9 different endings.
Yeah, and all of them depend on the actions you take. Some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah, they're like the raptor ending or whatever, the wizard ending.
Reptites, yeah. It is a little short. And sometimes some areas can be... Well, the music is top-notch, but a lot of it is top-notch. But mostly, my only complaint, I guess, would be the length of the game. But it does have a lot of replayability. The endings have conditions. And when you actually beat the game, you gain access to a new option. I think this was the first game to have that option. It's called New Game Plus. This is a feature that returned in the game Chrono Cross.
That game sucked.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, before we continue, Chrono Cross was an okay game. But
it tied up loose ends.
But comparing that game to Chrono Trigger, that game blows the biggest dick I've ever fucking seen.
But you're forgetting the designer's wishes also.
Okay, this game...
They were not supposed to be a direct sequel. It was supposed to be a side story.
Okay. This game has a summoning system. That might surprise some of you, because a lot of people I know are not aware this game actually has a fucking summoning system. Because the summoning system's almost impossible to freaking use.
Yeah, there are some major difficulties in that game, but I don't mind it. Though there are some things in Cross, I don't like them.
Cross is an okay game, but anyway, let's get back to Trigger, the bigger, better game.
Before I stop, there are a few things I forgot that I meant to mention in the last episode, but forgot. Okay, that Axe Hand Morgan reference I mentioned, the interesting twist. Well, it turns out that he was actually the one who was hypnotized by Django into thinking he caught the alleged Captain Kuro. That's how he got his fame in the Marines.
Interesting, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the writer of the manga answered that question in one of his interviews.
That is funny as hell. That's why he wasn't that strong. Everyone thought he was.
Well, he wasn't. He was basically... Kuro basically killed off his crew and had Django hypnotize him into believing he was the one who captured one of Captain Kuro's crew, who was hypnotized into believing he was Kuro for his execution.
Yeah.
So he could go into hiding.
That's pretty funny.
And live a peaceful life.
That is pretty funny. I didn't know that. Well, that's probably because they didn't really explain that in the show.
Yeah, I know. It was just... He answered it in one of his information things. When his fans ask questions, he gives answers.
That's funny.
Even if he changes them later. But this is one of the ones that's verified by him.
Anything else you wanted to enlighten us on?
I know there were a few things, but I'll get to those later once I've listened to the other one again.
Well, I think that's it for this episode. It looks like it's going to run a lot shorter than the last one. That's expected, I guess.
Yep.
I'd like to reiterate that you should contact us at gameversusanime@yahoo.com and send in what you think of the show. Send in questions. I mean, me and him know a lot about anime and video games. Send in questions or animes you want reviewed or something, and we'll talk about them on the show.
Yep.
Just send in what you think. And also visit the website at minzaroshow.blogspot.com for show notes, where we give you links to what we're talking about and information on it, just so, because we tend to rant on about stuff. You probably have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
And for those of you that do, you must have weird brains.
Because we rant on for hours probably about stuff you probably have no idea what we're talking about.
I think you'll find the name of this episode kind of humorous.
Yeah, we're going to run out of Star Wars names eventually.
Games versus Anime, Episode 2, Attack of the Gnomes. So what's next? Revenge of the... I'll figure that later.
Yeah, we'll figure that out next show or whatever. Well, for Mr. Mecca and for me, Minzara, we'll see you next time on Game versus Anime.